أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه المنتجبين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين، وبه نستعين. We seek refuge to Almighty Allah, the Lord of the universe, from the evil of the devil. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. Insha'Allah, we will begin Surah Al-Ikhlas. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العلي العظيم. This chapter is called Surah Al-Ikhlas. It is also called Surah At-Tawheed. The names in Arabic language have dimensions, different dimensions of that certain thing, whatever that is. For instance, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi has many, many names. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He told us to call Him by His names. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the best, the beautiful names. Call Him by these names, because each name has a special characteristic, a special dimension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Ikhlas also has different names, which means it has different dimensions. One of them is called Surah Al-Ikhlas, the purity, the sincerity. Khulus means pure. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be pure with Him, pure in our intentions, pure in our deeds, all for Him. قُرْبَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Only for the sake of being closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also has Surah At-Tawheed. Tawheed means the unity, the one, the only one, the indivisible one, Tawheed. This surah is one of the greatest surahs of the Holy Quran. It has many benefits. Matter of fact, let me first say about the weight of this verse, about this chapter, about this surah. As you know, different elements in the world, they have different prices, different values. For instance, if you go and you buy, let's say, a ton of dirt, let's say sand, it has a value. How much? I don't know. Whatever it is, you know. Not a ton, let's say a kilo, a pound, 1 pound of dirt. How much does it worth? Pennies? Then if you go somewhere else, you say, no, I don't want a pound of sand, a certain rock. What I want is I want a pound of silver. Now you see immediately the price changed. The price of silver, although it is element, it is from the earth, a rock, whatever that rock is from the earth, yet a silver is also from the earth. But the price of silver is much higher. If you go somewhere else and you say, no, I want a pound of gold, you will see the price goes up tremendously. Again, if you go, let's say that you want a pound of diamonds, same thing. Now, different chapters, although they are all from the Holy Quran, but when you read them, you will be rewarded a lot more or less in difference. The chapter of Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Ikhlas, has the weight of 1/3 of the Holy Quran. If Surah, the opening Al-Fatiha has two-thirds of the weight of the Holy Quran. Surah Al-Ikhlas has one-third. It's the second chapter. So therefore, if someone read Surah Al-Fatiha, and then after that he read Surah Al-Ikhlas, as if he had read the whole Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him by giving him as the reward as if he had read the whole Quran from cover to cover. This is the chapter. Now why? Why one-third? Because our creed, Al-Aqidah, or maybe when we use the term, Usul al-Din. Usul al-Din, for us, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, or the rest of the brothers, Muslim brothers, are three. What are these three? Number one, At-Tawheed, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, An-Nubuwah, prophethood, prophecy. And third is resurrection, ma'ad, yawmul qiyamah, judgment day. Then it branches out of the first one, al-adala, justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also branches out of an-nubuwah, al-imamah, the caliphate, al-khilafah, the imam. Who is the imam? So therefore it's five, but originally it is three. This surah is At-Tawheed, Surah At-Tawheed. So it is the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it carries one-third of the weight of the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is these things. They are either talking about, if you read the Holy Quran, it's talking about the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's talking about the Nubuwwah, or it's talking about going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Resurrection. Al-Ma'ad, Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So, this chapter, as I said, beside reading it and a person gaining one-third of the Holy Quran, Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi afdal as-salatu was-salam, he said, whoever read this chapter, whoever read this surah, after morning prayer, he will be that day as if he had not sinned. In other words, it helps him tremendously in controlling himself, and God forbid, doing some form of a dhanb or sin. He will be as close, as sinless as possible. So it is a great surah to read in order to help you prevent doing the sins that day. We have many, many other benefits for this surah. However, I just wanted to say it for its weight. The surah begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Now this surah is extremely deep. Truly speaking, a person can sit down and talk months and months in sessions about this holy surah. Therefore, I'm going to be as careful as possible. After all, we are discussing about the entity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, they came to Rasulullah, saying, Ya Rasulullah, during the era of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, relate your Lord to us. Let us know who is your Lord. This was prior to the coming of this chapter. When they went, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that their question is not a normal question. The answer should be an identification from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, he didn't say anything. And he waited for the revelation from the archangel Jibreel Gabriel, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, the holder of the revelation, al-wahy al-ilahi. The second day they came back and he did not receive, yet Rasulullah, he did not say anything. The third day, by the third time, 3 days, this verse came down. In other words, saying that your answer is this. It is a unique surah. It is one of a kind. if you look through any faith, any religion, any sect, that you will not find such a unity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself saying, this is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Now, in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, say, قُل, say what? Huwa, he. Who is he? You know, in Arabic, when you say huwa, it is ضمير الغائب. It is a word that is related to someone that is not there. And in other words, that someone could be like a secret. Nobody knows. He is there. He exists. And he exists tremendously. But he, you know, he is huwa. Something that you cannot reach. He is with you, but can you reach him? قُلْ هُوَ. Then he says, who is that huwa? He is Allah. That name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that had given himself. However, the word Allah is called al-ism al-a'zam, ism al-that. It is the name that all of the other names spring out, wave out of this name. Allah, the origin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is said that it is ilah. What is the meaning of ilah? Alaha. Ilah. It means when people relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go to him at the time of worship. Therefore, he is ilah. When people go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time where they need him the most, he is ilah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you add and you make him know, al-ilah, Allah, it became Allah. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called himself Allah. There is a specialty to this word, Allah. That is why, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, why you don't call him God? Why didn't you call him Pagwan? Why didn't you call him Dius, Khuda? Whoever that, you know, usually in different languages people call. Well, it's all right if they have a dimension to the name. It's a name. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah, it is not that it is only a name that refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not that it means that he is that puzzling existence that no one can comprehend, because we are limited. How can a limited existence comprehend an infinite existence? We are in a boundary. We are, whether in time or in location, we're bound. Even if you say that I have the whole earth, then what? Where can you go? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely everywhere, infinitely existence with no time. So I have to be in a container, whether it's location, time, height, width, you know, or depth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely infinite. So how can I comprehend such an existence? Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means that puzzling existence. But subhanAllah, this particular name, if you take even the alif away, look at it this way. Allah, take the alif away, it becomes lillah. For Allah, it's mulkiyya. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs everything. Whatever is in the heavens, whatever is in the earth. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. SubhanAllah, if you take the second lam away, so now you take one alif and the lam, it becomes lahu. Also, it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read the Holy Quran, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. لَهُ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and so forth. لَهُ means to Allah. Even if you take the second lam away, it also refers to him. It is who. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ هُوَ. قُلْ هُوَ. It is who. That secret he. ضمير المستتر الغائب. هو الله. أحد. now. What is the meaning of Ahad? You know, a lot of people think that Ahad means one. Does it mean one? Now, let us be careful. Once again, this verse, we should not talk way beyond. I will try, inshallah ta'ala, to bound myself by whatever is in front of me. So in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said that, Ya Allah, I have followed the great exegesers, al-mufassirin of the Holy Quran. And in this one, I'm using the one that is called al-asfa, because it's very short. Ahad. If I say one, what do I mean by one? Do I mean a one that is divisible? In other words, two halves, you put them right next to each other, it becomes one. Is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indivisible. Do you say He is one of a kind, He is one of the people, like when you say one of the so-and-so, you know? No, He is not. So, Ahad means that indivisible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one that cannot be divided, the one that all of His attributes cannot be separated from Him. Now, what do I mean by the attributes cannot be separated from Him? Look at you and me. Look at yourself. You know, usually it said, if you want to understand something, give an example of something else. Now, something else is me, you. Now, you say that, okay, I'll go ahead and exercise my muscles. I'll be strong. Why? Your muscles will be strong. But your strength is not a part of you. And in other words, it can be separated. If somebody came, and God forbid, if he gave you a little hemorrhage in the brain, a stroke, God forbid, and the person became paralyzed, that's it. All of his power are gone. He cannot use. Maybe he has a muscle that big around his biceps and triceps or his thighs, but it's useless because he can't use them. His power has been separated from him. Same thing, let's say that a person became extremely knowledgeable about a certain issue. Yes, one bang in the head, he will lose all of his memory. He lost all of his knowledge. The same thing, your money, your land, your position. If you have a certain position, by the time your boss or the higher authority came and signed you out. That's it. That position is gone, collapsed. Whatever you have, let's say that you have a whole house filled with money and gold, one little burn, that's it. They're all gone. So everything that you have is separable from you. But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inseparable. Ahad. And the proof to that is Allahu Samad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings the word Allah to identify. Say, He is Ahad, one. Allah, قُلْ هُوَ Allah Ahad. Allah As-Samad. What is the meaning of As-Samad here? As-Samad here is the one that is full, the one that has the power to over-control everything. Samad. The one that everything in this whole existence needs Him, yet He does not need anyone. All of us need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet He doesn't need us. He is the source of all of the good and sustenance for us. And He gives it to us without a return. Usually you and me, if we give something to someone, probably expect some form of a favor in return. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all giving. He is all generous. It's all generosity, subhanAllah. Ya Allah, bestow Your generosity upon us by giving us knowledge, by giving us closer to You, by letting us understand Your Holy Quran. Now, it is said that one of the imams, they asked him, what is the meaning of Samad? And they were sitting down and giving opinions after opinions and after opinions. And the Imam said, don't give opinions out of air or out of yourself. Allahu Samad. What does it mean? It means Lam Yalid, Walam Yulad, Walam Yakul Lahu, Kufuwan Ahad. So that's the meaning of Samad. Ya Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ahad, the one, the only one. There is no match, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one versus not two or three or half or three-fourths or so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely exalted, is high. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Samad, versus does not have an inner cavity like the rest of the existence. Ya subhanallah. Today they are going into smaller and smaller and smaller molecules. But every time they go, even today when they reach the atom, they realize that even in the atom there is a cavity in between the, let's say, atom, neutrons and electrons and so forth. Ya subhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a cavity, a samad. A samad is also the one that exists by himself, not with anyone else, not by the assistance. Everything in this world, everything in this world, you can put them in two different categories. One is called wajib al-wujud. His existence is a must. His existence is by himself. And the other one is mumkin al-wujud. What is the meaning of mumkin al-wujud? Mumkin al-wujud means his existence is possible. His existence is really trivial. His existence can be or cannot be. If I was or I wasn't, what would happen? Nothing. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He cannot be not be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His existence is a must, is a wajib, is compulsory. But you and I, we come and we go, we live and we die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn off our life, turn off our existence. But no one can do that to Allah. He is As-Samad. Now this As-Samad does not have also a weakness. Usually we have the weaknesses. What is the proof to that one? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ. He did not come from a source. He will not have babies. Lam yalid. He is not the one that is going to have a son or daughter or whoever it is. He can say be and it will be created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all what He needs to do is to think about a certain thing. His irada, His will create things. He does not need an action like we do. He hears without ears. He speaks without a tongue. He sees without eyes. The whole universe, every molecule, is under His supervision and comprehension. Yet He doesn't need powers like we do. His power is by Himself. He does not have a son in order to inherit him or to resemble him. And He walam yulad. He did not come like us from another source, whether it's a womb or anything else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. It says, the Holy Quran said, that one day the people of Saleh, they wanted a camel from a mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the mountain like a womb and a camel came out. Yes, subhanAllah. A living camel. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not come from anywhere. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a match, does not have an equal. He is the supreme. He is superior to everything, to everyone. All of the existence is His, the capital H, that is, are His creatures. We are all His creatures. We are all in need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need. We need to eat, we need to breathe, we need to drink, we need to sleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He neither sleeps, nor He even takes these little small snooze, as they say. Some of the scholars, they say, they mean by kufuwan ahad means a wife, because usually it is said that kufu'ul mar' is zawjatin. You know, usually when a person gets married, he goes and finds a match to himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a match. He is one unique entity. All of us, we are in twos, in pairs. Yes, subhanAllah. So therefore, this is the base for the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-tawheed. Now, can we live? A word of advice. How can we live with such a unity? And a lot of times, this is, as I said, an advice, a lot of times without paying attention. If someone comes and tells you, do you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one? He says, yes. Do you believe that there is anyone else that can help you but Allah? He says, no. No one can help you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you believe that anyone can give you a sustenance but Allah? Do you believe that anyone can take you out of your troubles but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, no. Only Allah, only Allah. Okay, good. In the ideological aspect, yes, you believe in that. But as time goes on, and let's say that, for instance, you need a job, or let's say, God forbid, someone got sick and, you know, you took them to the hospital, the physician, and he was cured. This person with this kind of a ikhlas unity, khulus, he says, subhanAllah, if it wasn't for such and such doctor, my son was not going to be cured. You see, I hope that you paid attention. It seems like you have associated somebody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas no, the cure is from Allah. Well, what happened in the middle? The hospital, the physicians, the nurses, all of whatever in between are tools that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided in order to give you what you need. So always, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to focus on one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pleasing Allah, praying for Allah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying your best to fear Allah by not doing what He doesn't want you to do. Always think that you want to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, and so forth. So therefore, say, قُلْ إِنَّ مَحْيَاي وَمَمَاتِ. Say that my living, my death is lillah, rabbil alameen, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever I live, I eat, I drink. Speaking of eating and drinking, we need to eat, we need to drink, we need to sleep, we need to work. Now, if you think, Ya Allah, I would like to eat in order to be strong, so I could worship. I would like to drink, Ya Allah, because my body needs fluid for living, for worship. Ya Allah, I need to sleep. Sleep qurbatan ila Allah ta'ala, because next day you need your strength in order to go to work, to provide food for yourself and the family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all of these, drinking, eating, sleeping, going to work, they will make them all worship. As if you are praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Praying does not stop just at the sujood and qiyam and ruku' and saying takbirat al-haram. No. You can be at work and you can sincerely, khulus, think that, Lord, this is for you. You can eat and drink. You said, Lord, this is for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change, will make all of your day, 24 hours, for Him as if you are praying. Lord, we ask you to give us that sincerity. Lord, we ask you to be in our hearts as one. See, well, we will not fear but you. We will not ask but you. We will not care except for what you want us to do. Lord, make us closer to you. Lord, make us understand your words, your revelation, the Holy Quran, and let us be closer and closer to Ahlul Bayt. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.